You're listening to the More Time, More Profit podcast, the best place for entrepreneurs who are looking to grow past the startup phase of their business, but still need to learn how to free up more time, drive more profit. Now, present these real strategies, your successful business coaches and hosts, Adam John and Grant Muriel.
Welcome to More Time, More Profit, episode number 73. Today's show, we're talking about the one-page marketing plan to drive more sales with Alan Dibb. My name is Adam John, and as always, I'm joined by Mr. Grant Merrill. What's going on, Grant?
Not much, buddy. What is the number one problem in everybody's business today? It is always leads. It is by far the standout issue that every business owner has, and we're going to solve it today. So jump on and download the template to work along with us by going to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/073 for episode 73.
So today we're concentrating on marketing, specifically how to develop a simple strategy any business owner can put in place. We went through buying personas back in episode number 42, so go ahead and put that in your playlist as it will complement this show nicely. Now, I know how frustrating it can be to see a competitor generating more business than you, even though their product or service is not as good as yours, and they are doing this simply because they have a better marketing strategy than you. I also know how hard it is as a business owner to go out there and learn all aspects of marketing. It's a huge and daunting topic. We need to consider things like, who is my core demographic? What is my message? Where should I advertise? What platform should I use? What's my call to action? What is my funnel? How am I storing and following up on leads? And how am I going to convert the leads? All these questions need to be answered to run an effective campaign. Now, if you look at big companies, they all have big marketing departments, but what about the little guys with business owners who wear many hats? What if you had a simple one-page marketing plan that you could easily implement into your business that would generate you leads right away? Well, that's what we're here to discuss today. Grant, it's very easy to get consumed and trip over when it comes to marketing. Your thoughts on this topic, mate?
Yeah, mate. Look, couldn't agree more. I really want to kickstart this episode by saying that there are many more uses for marketing than just making money or sales. It needs to also be used for upsells or re-engaging with current customers, getting into different market segments, standing out from the competition or the crowd, learning about a potential market that you could be getting into, etc., etc. It's not just the fundamentals of let's go and generate more sales. And Adam, you and even I, in our business career, we've struggled to generate leads previously. Whether or not we've overcome them is a different story that we can get into at a later date. And every single person in the More Time, More Profit community has confessed to having the same problem at some point or another. So why is that? This is such a big problem for business owners. There's more than enough purchasing demand for almost every product or service being offered. So why are there always a few select groups of people who get most of the sales and the leads? And I can tell you that it's not because they're smarter than us. It's not because they were richer. And it's definitely not because they were told any trade secrets. They've just delivered to a marketing plan and there was nothing else to it. The entrepreneur who generates the most leads understands the value of planning. Their plan includes everything that you've mentioned, Adam. Demographic, unique sales proposition, funnel, brand awareness, the list goes on and on. And I'll tell you this, when I reflected back on my digital marketing business days many, many years ago, and the use of our AdWords, which is just a pay-per-click service, it was almost embarrassing that it actually worked, as there was no plan, there was no consistent message, and there was no way that we nurtured the leads, etc., etc. And I've been exactly where all of our listeners are right now, whether I was either not getting leads or struggling to get them. So today, you need to sit down, listen to this gentleman and what he has to say as he's opening up his bag of tricks, he's summarizing his book, and he's really going to be getting into an awesome high-level plan that you can go away and execute today. So Adam, I'm going to jump off my soapbox and let's get into it, mate.
Let's do it.
So today we've got Alan Dibb. Alan, welcome to the show.
Great, Adam. Pleasure to be on.
Mate, you are author of the one-page marketing plan, also the founder of SuccessWise, a business consulting firm, and you're also an awesome conversationalist. Now, for everyone listening, to be honest, Alan and I literally met over a beer probably about a month or so ago, and safe to say, we hit it off in the first 5 minutes. We've got a lot of mutual friends. He lives in probably one of the most amazing places in my book. It's got some incredible wineries around it, so we just had to have the guy on. So to jump headfirst into the episode, Alan, How did you really sort of get started or pulled into or directed into this whole one-page marketing plan where you can actually simplify such a complex area of business, which is marketing?
Yeah, it's a great question, Grant. I started consulting with many small businesses, so helping them do their marketing and essentially leveling up to the next level. So if they were small and wanting to level up to the next level, or if they're doing really, really well and just wanting to get a lot of traction. So one of the first things we started working on was a marketing plan. And naturally, we'd go back and forth. And what I'd find is it never get done. And the reason it never get done, because putting together a marketing plan traditionally has been a long process. It's been expensive. Sometimes there's having to get consultants in to help you and all of this. And so it really came out of necessity because I needed to help my clients put together a marketing plan quickly, easily, at a low cost. And that's really where it was born out of.
No, I love it. Was there this point, like we've all, well, to some way or other, we've all kind of put together a marketing plan to an extent, but was this sort of aha moment where you have just sat down after 5-10 iterations of your marketing plan and you've just sat back and said, aha, this is the secret sauce that every single business on the face of the planet has to apply? Or was there something else that really just snapped in your head that said, this is what I need to do?
No, I'll tell you the story. So so a couple of businesses back, I had an IT business and, you know, I knew that I needed help. And I got a guy in, a consultant in, and he spent probably, you know, a total of a few weeks with us, helping us put together a business plan. And we put together this beautiful business plan. It was hundreds of pages long. It had charts, it had projections, financials, and everything like that. And of course, like many of these documents, it ended up in the top drawer of my desk, and I never saw it again until we were moving offices and I was cleaning all the crap out of my desk. And then I look at this big, beautiful, long business plan. And of course, after it was written, I never even looked at it again. And, you know, I thought to myself, what a waste of time, what a waste of money. But then I thought to myself, you know, what was the thing that I really got out of this plan? And it was a little section called the marketing plan. And that's where we went over pricing, positioning, what kind of market we were going to. And although I never opened that plan again, it did clarify a lot of those things for me at the time. So years later, when I was getting some of my clients to put together a marketing plan, that's basically where it came from. So I didn't want them to have to go through the same laborious process, expensive process. And very often, like I said, they wouldn't get it done just because it was long, boring, expensive, difficult, all of that sort of stuff. So that's basically where it was born. You know, how can we, in one single page, create a very comprehensive direct response marketing plan? So we want to hit on all the things that we need to hit when it comes to direct response marketing. And that's basically where we built the one-page marketing plan, a nine-step process that helps you implement a very, very sophisticated marketing plan in your business.
I love it. And then we print it off and staple it to the marketing guy's head so he never forgets it.
Exactly.
I guess after this session, it's going to be drinking out of a fire hose, really. Do you reckon that everyone listening to this podcast will be able to build an extremely high-level one-page marketing plan where they can start looking at diving a little bit deeper into it post the podcast?
Most definitely. So it's designed so that in 30 minutes, you can basically go through the nine steps and basically end up with a comprehensive marketing plan. It's meant to be quick, easy, and it's meant to be a living document that, like you said, maybe not staple to the marketing person's head, but certainly staple to the wall of your office, and that you can look at, refer to, and refine over time so that it's a living document. It's not something that gets shoved in the top drawer and never referenced again. It's something that you can literally have up on the wall and have in mind when you're running marketing campaigns and things like that.
Yeah, love it. Adam, let's get into the meat of the episode.
And if you want to ask Alan or ask any questions, jump onto Facebook and search for More Time, More Profit Group and ask away. All right, just before we jump into it, we just want to set a bit of a premise for this framework that's about to follow. You mentioned direct response marketing. Do you just want to just touch on that for a little bit and then we'll get into the framework itself?
So direct response marketing, rather than going into the technicalities of it, it's basically marketing that works for small businesses. So you'll often see big business marketing, like you'll see on billboards with Nike, with Apple, with Coca-Cola. That's called, I guess, branding or brand awareness or large business marketing. And most small businesses just don't have the budget to do that kind of stuff. You know, if you've got millions of dollars, and if you've got years to kind of get a result, then that stuff is great. But if you're a small business and you're working with thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars, and so you've got a relatively small marketing budget and you need results pretty quickly, then direct response marketing is what you need to be doing. So that's basically the way I describe it.
And what comes underneath that umbrella? Is that email marketing? Is that pay-per-click advertising? Just to put it underneath that umbrella so people have a clear indication about what's going on for the steps that are following.
Yeah, so it's all of those things. It can be email marketing. It can be Google Ads. It can be all of those things. But some of the key elements with direct response marketing is, you know, that it touches on emotions. So it has an emotional element. It's got a copy that's written in a way that really asks for a response. So it's not about just brand awareness or getting your name out there. We want someone to do something after they read a direct response marketing ad. It may be call a phone number, it may be click the ad, it may be opt into a website, could be any of those things. But we, with direct response marketing, we want the person reading the ad to do something.
Absolutely brilliant. Okay, now that we've got that clarified, what's the framework, the processes, the steps at a very high level that enable you to get the results and create this one-page marketing plan?
First, I'll start with the reason why you want a plan. Like a lot of small businesses, they're just floating without a plan. And if you have a look at anything or anyone who's got a lot of high stakes on the line, they've got a plan. So doctors have a treatment plan, pilots have a flight plan, the military has an operations plan. So anything where there's a lot at stake, people have a plan. Now, it's funny, a lot of small businesses, they just don't bother with a plan. And I mean, how much have you got at stake if your business fails or succeeds? I mean, you could have your business at stake, your employees, you know, even marriage breakups and things happen because of failed businesses. So it's crazy, first of all, not to have a plan. The other thing is you want to have a good framework. So you want to understand, okay, what do I have to do next? And that's really what we answer in the one-page marketing plan. We want to have clarity because there's so much happening in the marketplace right now with random acts of marketing. You know, there's guys who are saying, just do social media. Another guy, the AdWords guy says, do AdWords. The SEO guy says SEO. And, you know, there's all these random things and people end up doing random acts of marketing rather than having a strategy and a plan and then following that plan.
Brilliant. Okay, so let's jump into it. So I think the first we're going to talk about prospecting. What do we do when we get the plan in place? Let's jump into that.
Sure. So we've got 9 steps of the marketing plan. And the first one is really to just define your target market. And this is where a lot of people go wrong. They just say, hey, everybody's my target market. I want to get my product out there. So it's great for everyone. They may be, say, a photographer, a lawyer, a doctor, whatever. And hey, I can help everyone. So the first step is really just to define who is my target market. And that's absolutely critical because if you write an ad for someone, for a general, you know, if you have like one of those laundry lists ads where, hey, we do, let's say you're a photographer, we do portraits, we do weddings, we do commercial photography, all of that, your ad is really targeting no one. So what you want is for someone reading your ad, you want them to say, hey, that's for me. So this is why we want to get very specific around a target market. So that's step one. If we go to step two, it's the message to the target market. So we want someone to basically have an emotional response to our message. So we want them to understand this is for me, and we want them to get across the benefits that we have to offer. And especially we want to be problem solution oriented. The last thing in the world that we want is to just have a very general message that's kind of branding or brand awareness or other such thing. We really want them to have a very specific problem solution message. So that's very much a part of direct response marketing. And that's something that will get you a far, far better result than just having a general message like, hey, give us a call.
So is there a structure to that problem solution message?
Yeah, there is. So the structure I like is problem, solution, proof. So an example of that is, let's say you're an electrical engineering consultant. So you know when companies go offline when their power goes off? Well, what we do is we install uninterrupted power supplies, and that enables the clients to keep all of their systems online and they don't lose any data. And in fact, we installed it last week for a client, and ever since we've had it installed, they've been running at a much more stable level and having no issues with power outages or brownouts. So that's a little framework I like: problem, solution, proof.
So that marketing message, is that everything that, so if we're doing paid advertising on Facebook or on Google, it's kind of outline our problem, the solution, and then the proof? Or does there need to be like a sort of something else added into that? Or is that just more of a fundamental thing that we always need to realign ourselves with?
Yeah, it's a fundamental thing that I like to ensure that your sales copy has. So, I mean, in a Google ad, you may not have enough space to have all of that, but certainly you want to hit on the problem in an ad. So, and then they might click through, and then there's more information, there's problem, solution, proof kind of framework.
Yeah, love it. And what's number three?
So number three is media. And media is really the bridge that bridges your marketing message and your target market. And it's typically the most expensive part of your marketing process, which is why I recommend you get specialists in their particular media. So what I mean by media is like Facebook is a media, radio advertising is a media, print is a media. So that's how you essentially get your message to your target market out there. So very often people will try to do stuff themselves. So, and this being the most expensive part of your marketing process, I really recommend that you do get a specialist. So get the SEO specialist, get the AdWords specialist, get the print advertising specialist to help you out with that.
How involved should we be with that marketing? I know you mentioned getting a specialist in there, but I mean, just flicking off Facebook ads and not knowing anything about it can get you in a little bit of trouble too. You can start burning cash if you haven't got the right person. So is it a case of just learning up a little bit and then give it over to a specialist? Or, you know, you see some of these business owners get in trouble trying to do SEO themselves and things like this?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I mean, we're all entrepreneurs and we love the just getting our hands dirty, doing the DIY. And I mean, one way is just to kind of learn it yourself and then, you know, try and do it yourself. And that's okay. That's fine. But, I write in the book, like, business is a team sport. And it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to do something sophisticated like running a business and getting it to scale all by yourself. It really is a team sport. Like, even just the production of the book, I had a team on that. So, I mean, I wrote the manuscript, but I had two editors, I had a researcher, I had a graphic design person, I had an illustrator. So all of those things, I wouldn't have been able to release that book in the quality that it is and have it sell that well if I didn't have specialists who were helping me out. So, and I mean, I'm experienced at marketing and I need a team of specialists really to help me out with that. And that's exactly the same with most small businesses. I mean, even though maybe you can sort of fumble around and do something yourself, I highly recommend you get a specialist because, you know, that, then it's basically done, right? Because otherwise you've got to learn it, you've got to do the trial error, all of that sort of stuff, and then you hit the mark or maybe you don't hit the mark. But if you get a good specialist, and of course, I mean, ensuring that someone who knows what they're doing, and again, you test and measure rather than just going all in. You test small, get some small wins, and then you can increase.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. And I think you'll find that if you ask the specialist the right questions, then you'll start upping your IQ and you'll learn more about it. Then you can go out to the web and ask specific questions if things aren't working out great. So I love that analogy with your book. I think that's absolutely brilliant because I think, you know, we've all, a lot of people out there listening to this podcast have thought about writing a book and it's just like, nah. Can't do it. I can't. I need editors, researchers, all these things. Most people just think they just write a book itself and publish it, and that's why most books don't get written. So I love that. What's the next step? Yeah. What's the fourth step in this framework?
So fourth step is a lead capture system, and this is where you want to start capturing people who are maybe interested or slightly interested into a database. And the reason you want to do that is because at any one time, maybe only about 3% of your target market are hot and ready to buy right now. And almost if you look at any industry, if you look at automotive or if you look at consulting or if you look at plumbing or anything else, about 3% of your target market are basically hot and ready to buy right now. That leaves 97%. Most advertising, unfortunately, targets that 3%. And there's a very low chance, like if you've just written an ad that says, hey, call us now or call us sometime or whatever, you've got to get pretty lucky that 3% who's looking at your ad at that very moment happens to see your ad, calls up and does some business with you. So a smarter way is to start capturing leads. And we do that by offering something of value upfront. We might offer a free report. Maybe it's an instructional video. So I'll give you an example. Like if I'm in the market for a car, I mean, when I decide to buy a new car, let's say I'm looking at a new Mercedes or whatever, there might be a good 6 months, could be even 12 months, where I'm just gathering information, I'm thinking about it, I'm trying to decide what model, what color, all that sort of stuff. I don't wake up just one day and say, hey, today's the day I'm buying a car. So if someone is interested in my business, a really good approach would be to put me on a database and just to keep in touch from time to time to see, how am I going? Do I need any more information? Do I want to have a test drive? Is there something else that I want to know about it? Are there any downsides, upsides that I should be considering? What are my requirements? Am I going to be carrying a lot of load, or am I going to be doing frequent trips, things like that? So that's one of the reasons why we want to capture leads, because we want to keep in touch with prospects until they are ready to buy, not necessarily until we're ready to sell.
Are we looking at it as something like a CRM, like a Salesforce or something along these lines, or are we looking at something specific like an Infusionsoft or an ActiveCampaign?
Look, to be honest, the tool itself doesn't really matter as much as using the tool. So some people use Salesforce, that's great for enterprise kind of sales. Some people use Infusionsoft. Personally, I use Entreport. ActiveCampaign is another good one. There's many different CRMs, and the actual tool you use is not super important, but it's just important that you do use a tool, that you're capturing the data, and then that you're keeping in touch with the people who you capture.
With offering something, is there a sort of a cheat way to find out what our market would sort of reciprocate with? Is it that we just go and steal what our competitors have done? Is there a tool? Is it just trial and error? Or is there like an 80-20 to just figuring this out really quick and easily?
Yeah, so normally I find, and that's certainly the case with me, but normally I find most people will have about 3 or 4 sub-segments of their target market. So if you've got many more than that, you're probably off track. And if you've got a lot less than that, you're probably slightly off track as well. So basically, most businesses will have 3 or 4 segments that they deal with. So I'll give you an example of a segment. So if I'm in digital marketing, so one segment might be large enterprises, and another segment could be small businesses, and another segment might be just startups who don't have a web presence at all. So they would be 3 different segments, and they would have very, very different requirements, and you would market to them very, very differently as well. So enterprises want to know what are the clients you've done, maybe they've got complex requirements, they need project management, all of that sort of stuff. Whereas the guy who's the startup, who's just starting up, he just wants a web presence, he wants to know what does he need to get started, what's next basically. So how do you come up with your segments? One of the ways is through either past experience. If you're part of the target market or you've been part of the target market, that's great. Another way is just to do market research. And you can do market research multiple ways. So you can do market research by directly asking your target market what they want. You can do that through a survey. There's some other processes that are a bit more complex, like the ask formula or the ask method, sorry. And then there's just the old simple surveys. So simply asking people, What are you struggling with? What do you need help with?
Beautiful. So we've got let's say a CRM in place, and we're capturing and we're nurturing our leads in our system. What's the next step there?
Yeah, so step number 5 in the one-page marketing plan is lead nurturing, exactly as you said. So we basically want to keep in touch with our target market. We want to continue giving them pieces of value. So go back to my example of the guy who's looking to buy a car. So, some of the things that he might want to keep in touch with is cool videos of people driving that car, maybe keeping in touch with, is there a new accessories for that car? Are there the colors that he wants? Maybe going for a test drive. So basically, lead capture is step 1. And then next, we want to go to lead nurturing. So we want to keep in touch. So the analogy I give is, would you prefer to do business with a friend, or would you prefer to do business with a stranger? And of course, we all say we prefer to do business with a friend. So the lead nurturing process is where you essentially become, at a business level, their friend. So if someone's been giving you value for a long period of time and you become ready to buy, would you prefer to do business with them, someone who's been giving you value for a long time, or just go to a total stranger from the yellow pages? Unlikely, right?
Makes perfect sense.
So then after that comes sales conversion. So that's where we've captured them, we've kept in touch with them, and then we convert them to becoming a paying customer.
Is there a strategy itself for the conversion? I'm sure we could do a whole show on any one of these steps. Is there a quick strategy for conversion, or is it come down to your call to actions? How do we manage that?
Yeah, so it's funny, like years back, you would have had sales techniques, you know, pressure closes, you know, the puppy dog close, the this and that close, you know, and really, I mean, so that's become a joke in selling. But now selling has become very consultative, and especially if you sell anything that's reasonably high value, you want to have a consultative sales process, and you want the sales process to be natural. You don't want it to be weird where you're putting pressure on them or following them up like a pest. So what I say in sales, you want to be a welcome guest, not a pest, right? So we've all experienced those pest salesmen, either door knockers at the door or telemarketers and all of that. And the positioning that you have as a pest is very, very low. It's kind of like it's price oriented, it's high pressure, you know, it's weird for the person getting the treatments, weird for the person who's having to put the pressure on you. So really in the new economy, we want to be consultative salespeople. And how we do that is really step five, the lead nurturing process. So the lead nurturing process, the whole idea of that is to make sales very, very natural, right? So you want the client essentially coming to you and saying, hey, you know, you've kept in touch with me for the last 6 months. I'm now ready to buy that car. You've given me some awesome information. So, hey, let's get together and let's do some business. So it takes all the pain out of selling. It takes all the pressure out. The last thing you ever want is pressure in a sales situation, because pressure causes prospects to do weird things and it causes you to do weird things. Whereas we want to be really, really natural. We want the next step to just come naturally and people say, okay, well, how do we work together? What do we do next?
Absolutely brilliant. So you've come up with a conversion. You've actually made a sale. You've sold the car. What's the next step?
The next step is basically in the after phase. So someone's a customer and now they're in the after phase, and we want to talk about delivering a dream come true experience. So the whole point of that is we want to create raving fans. We don't want just to be transactional. It's not about just doing the sale once and then trying to find some new customers. And the reason we want that is because we want to maximize the lifetime value. So going back to the car example, I won't buy a car just once in my life. I'll buy a car many times in my life, right? So if I'm a car salesman, you know, I'd be very short-sighted if I just looked at it transactionally and thought, okay, I've made the sale, I'm moving on. And in my book, I've got an example of Joe Girard. He's one of the greatest salesmen of all time when it comes to cars. He's in the Guinness Book of Records for the number of car sales. And he did it by a very, very simple method. Everyone who he came across, whether it was a customer or someone who even didn't buy from him, he kept in touch with them with a monthly postcard. By the end of his career, he was sending 13,000 postcards per month. And literally all his business just came from referrals. On the 1st of January, he'd send them a Happy New Year postcard. In February, he'd send them a Happy Valentine's postcard, and so on and so forth. So every month he kept in touch with them. And of course, what that does is keeps you top of mind. And again, like we said before, who would you rather do business with? Would you rather do business with a friend, or would you rather do business with a complete stranger? And of course, we say a friend. So the whole point of square number 7 in the one-page marketing plan is delivering a world-class experience. We want to wow them, right? We want them to become raving fans, and we want them to start telling other people about what an awesome experience they've had with us.
Brilliant. He's licking a lot of stamps. I'm sure it's a team. We talked about a team effort there earlier in the show. I'm sure he's licking all the stamps and sending out the postcards himself. Okay, we're going to start bringing this one home. What's the step number 8 there?
The step number 8 is about increasing lifetime value. So how do we take a customer who's bought from us, or how do we increase their lifetime value? So we can do that through a number of techniques. We can get them to buy more often. We can bundle. So, you know, the fries with that approach, would you like fries with that, is worth millions and millions of dollars to McDonald's. And it's just a very, very simple add-on. It's something that creates more value for the person buying. So fries with a burger, it makes the burger more valuable and makes it a better experience. So it's not a high-pressure situation. It's something that makes sense. So that's one way. Another way is ascension. So very often people will have only one version of their product or service. And if you're doing that, you're definitely leaving money on the table. So a really good example of ascension is, like, if you look at some of their ISPs, so they might have a you know, a low speed plan, a medium speed plan, and a high speed plan. Now, to deliver either of any of those would probably cost them roughly around the same cost. But people who are going on the high speed plan, they're worth more to the ISP because obviously they're charging more. They're going to get a better experience as well than someone on a low speed plan. And so moving someone who's on a maybe low or a medium speed plan up to the higher one, that's essentially Ascension. So we can get people to buy more. We can have a standard and a premium option in each category. We can increase frequency. Another really good way of increasing lifetime value is reactivation. So no doubt everyone's got a list of past customers who've dealt with them. And doing a reactivation campaign is an awesome way of just basically re-stimulating some of those old past contacts. Maybe it's even prospects who haven't bought from you in the past. So something may have changed in their life and now they may be open to what you've got to offer. So a reactivation campaign can be an awesome way to increase lifetime value.
Yeah, I love that lifetime value. I'm thinking about in terms of the car, you know, you can sell them aftermarket things. You could strap a turbo to their car or have new floor mats or you could tint the windows. And you can also bring them in for the car servicing as well. And then if you deliver a good service, well, when it's time to upgrade the car, you can get a trade-in and you can keep getting their business for the lifetime value of that. So I think that's absolutely fantastic. The final step, step number nine, and we'll wrap this one up.
Yeah, step number nine is orchestrating and stimulating referral. It's a deliberate name for that step. Orchestrating and stimulating, right? So very often people do the sit and wait for referrals. And it's awesome when their referral gets just given to us. And that's, I guess, the equivalent of a free lunch or a free kick if you're in Australia. And that's fantastic. But how can we stimulate and orchestrate referrals? How can we put a system around getting referrals? And that's one of the things we discuss in the last step. And there's some really, really good strategies around that. But it's basically around conquering what we call the bystander effect. So, and this is something that Dean Jackson has talked about, so give credit to him. But basically, you know, if you're in an emergency situation, maybe there's been a car crash or something like that, the people are normally trained to point at a specific person and say, hey, you call the ambulance, and he'll point at another person, hey, you go get a blanket. And the reason they do that is because of a thing called the bystander effect. The bystander effect is like, if they had have said someone get a blanket or someone call the ambulance, then everyone sort of looks at each other and thinks, okay, someone means someone else, right? Doesn't mean me. So what we want to do with referrals and asking for referrals is be hyper specific and hyper relevant. So if we're a real estate agent, we want to ask maybe the mortgage broker to say, hey, if you know anyone who's been made retrenched and is looking to downsize their property, can you let me know? Because I've got some really valuable information I can give them. Now, that's a really good way to ask a referral. A really bad way to ask for a referral is, hey, if anyone knows anyone who wants to buy a property, can you send them my way? So that's kind of the bystander effect.
Grant, I know you've been scribbling away in your notepad there frantically. We've gone through 9 very awesome points. And I will say, just go out and buy this book. It's going to be an absolute masterpiece, one that you need to have in your library. Can you just take us through the framework?
Yeah, look, it's been a huge sort of episode. I love this. And I actually can't wait to jump into the book myself. Sorry, Alan, I haven't had the chance to read it. We jumped on the call a little bit quicker than anticipated. So the quick summary, and it's prefaced by some fundamentals like every framework and process that we have, is really sort of why do you need a plan? And it comes down to everyone in the world who has high stakes has a plan, pilots, etc. And failing to plan is really just planning to fail. So having a plan that is backed by a framework furthers our ability to deliver. So there's sort of 9 parts of this broken down into 3 subsections. So the first subsection is our sort of prospecting, which is what we do before. The first step is, who is our target market? So we must know who we're trying to hit and ensure that they have the ability to give us exactly what we want, e.g. they have the ability to pay for their bills, they have the ability to enjoy what we're going to be offering, as opposed to just trying to throw it at a demographic who's got a whole heap of cash. Number 2 is my message to that target market. So we must be a problem solution message. It can't be a feature rich. The structure that we should always focus on is problem, solution, proof. This is a fundamental message to really consistently realign ourselves against, and it's not really going to form our call to action. It's more that fundamental around this is what the business does. And then step number 3 is the media that we're going to use to reach that target market. and really we want to reach out and get advice from different marketing services. And a really good question that we brought up was ask them what other businesses in our space have they delivered to and what services do they use? Were they using SEO, PPC, billboards, whatever? Number four comes under the heading of our leads, which is during our ability to go and capture our leads, which is step number four, my lead capture system. So we want to add our customers into a database because only 3-4% of our target market is hot and ready to purchase now. So we want to offer them something upfront that's going to get them into our lead funnel, which could be a video, a report, some kind of guide, etc. And if we want to know how to break that down, we need to understand that our business is typically going to have 3-4 segments, industries, size of clients, etc. And all we need to do is go out to them and survey or ask them sort of what are their biggest problems. And this will create our call to actions in regards to giving away specific video content or guide content. Step number five is my lead nurturing systems. We can use solutions such as ActiveCampaign, Infusionsoft, etc. But really, it is just the way that we're going to be delivering our nurturing, which could be email, SMSs, letters, etc. It doesn't really matter how we want to nurture people. And it's all about really becoming a friend with that lead. So not best friends, but just familiar enough for them to purchase from us. Step number six is my sales conversion strategy, where you really want to be a welcoming guest and not a pest. So when we're nurturing people, let's always refer them back to a way that we can come in and help their business. It can be done in a PS, in a letter. It can be done through another download. It can be done many other ways. So we just always want to reference a sales call to action for the second that they're ready in their purchasing cycle. Then number seven comes under our customer. So this is after they've already become a customer and is how I deliver a world-class experience. So as Mr. Gerard said, he would send a postcard every single month to everyone who ever bought a car from him. And it's a really good way to make sure that we're always front of mind in our leads or in our current customers' heads. And we always want to ensure that the service or product they bought just exceeds their expectations, right? Second last step, number eight, how I increase customer lifetime value. We've got four options. We get them to buy a new product more often or service more often. We bundle in the offers. We give them Ascension, which is a higher level of service or product, but also we reactivate them. Either they're a dead lead or they've bought from us a significant time ago. And number nine is we need to ensure that we orchestrate and stimulate referrals, such as conquering the bystander effects by being hyper-specific on the people and businesses we want to get referred to, e.g. someone who has been made redundant, owns cars, and has a house over $500,000. So, Mr. Alan Dibb, how did I go?
That is absolutely perfect. Well done. That's well done, mate.
Alan, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. We really appreciate your insights. Can you tell us where we can go? Let's just tell us where we can go find your book, where we can go find out more about you.
Sure. So the book is The One-Page Marketing Plan, obviously. You can grab it on Amazon. If you want to join us on our mailing list, it's successwise.com. successwise.com. Otherwise, check out the One-Page Marketing Plan on Amazon, and I'd love you to leave a review after you've downloaded the book.
We'll put all those links in the show notes for everyone playing along at home. We'll be continuing this conversation over at Facebook. You can go to Facebook and search for More Time, More Profit Group and join in the conversation with us there.
Thank you, everyone. Don't forget to jump onto iTunes, click subscribe, and let us know exactly what you've taken away from this episode with Alan.
That's it from us. We'll catch you the same bat time, the same bat channel next week. It's bye for now.
Catch you later, everybody.
Awesome, guys.
You've just been listening to More Time, More Profit Podcast. For more info, check out moretimemoreprofit.com. Make sure to tune in at the same time next week for another dose of real-life business strategies.